This is Norman Sherman for the Game Changers, and today we're going to be speaking with Alexis Cardona, who is the new Chief Marketing Officer of Transitions Optical. Alexis, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Norm. How about you?
I'm great, thank you. So tell us a little bit, if you would, about Transitions Optical.
Well, Transitions Optical is an international company. It's headquartered in Pinellas Park, Florida. And the location is fantastic, I must say, personally speaking. What Transitions does, I'm sure most people probably have heard of the Transitions lenses that change from light to dark and dark to light, depending on whether you're inside or outside. And that's the Transitions Optical company. Basically, they manufacture adaptive lenses that change and adapt to changing light conditions, so you always see as well as you possibly can. They are in 20 countries, and that's a quickly growing list. We currently develop primarily prescription lenses, and then we apply the photochromic technology to them, but also we've started to expand into sunwear and the sunglasses as well as motorcycle wear and the helmets and a lot more innovation on the way. It's about 1,200, 1,300 employees and about $1 billion in sales globally. It's been growing about 15 to 20% a year the last 5 years, so very exciting.
Wow, that's great. So tell us a little bit about the marketing model. Is this a consumer-facing organization? Is it professional-facing? How do you go to market with Transitions lenses?
You know, it's a very interesting model. I would tell you that historically, primarily, as Transitions really focused on establishing the business and growing the penetration, it was very much retail and channel-driven. And what happens is Transitions works with lens casters, the folks who actually make the lenses. And Transitions applies the photochromic technology to those lenses. So it was very much channel and lens caster driven, and it still is to this day. I think increasingly Transitions has recognized the importance of creating demand and creating brand equity with the consumer. And that's where I come in, and that's where others in the past have said, hey, this would be one of the few companies in the optical industry that's not a frames company, which are really the ones that are most well known, really driving lens demand and product demand, you know, directly to the consumer. And, you know, as a result of that, Transition has a lot of, you know, high awareness, particularly in North America and other areas, as far as brand recognition. You know, most people know who Transition is, or at least what the product does. And that's a testament to this company, you know, that really has gone from being primarily professional and channel-driven to really trying to be very consumer-centric. What I'll tell you is it's a healthy mix of several stakeholders. The channel and the retailers and the lens casters are important. So is the eye care professional who recommends the product. And definitely we talk directly to the consumer to generate that demand and that loyalty.
So that's quite a marketing challenge you face. That's a lot of audiences that you need to get on the same page, I imagine.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious. I know as your background, you spent many successful years within Procter & Gamble. And I'm sure over the course of your time at Procter & Gamble, which I've always viewed as the one of, if not the preeminent marketing organizations in the world, I'm sure people have knocked on your door before to say, you know, here's an opportunity. Why was Transitions the opportunity you chose to leave for?
It's a really good question. What I would tell you is these kind of opportunities don't come along that often. It would have been rather easy to transition from, you know, a P&G, a Procter & Gamble, who you're right is one of the top classic consumer marketing companies in the world, to another CPG company and continue, you know, my career there. But this opportunity to really be the chief marketing officer of a fast-growing, small, global company who really wants to become best in class in terms of brand building and consumer-centric marketing, consumer-centric business. And, you know, I'm in a position to shape not just the communications aspect, but the operations, the business strategy, the innovation strategy, the organizational capabilities. I mean, I'm in charge of really developing the marketing for the organization. They've already invested quite a bit. I got to accelerate that and take that to the next level. And I'm part of the, if you will, the C-suite and the C-level. So I have, you know, I really have the chance to impact a whole company's development rather than just a brand or a category. And that really appealed to me. I will tell you the second thing is the opportunity to really apply my classic consumer marketing skills and what I've learned and developed, primarily to an industry that's technologically and channel-driven. And that challenge of bringing an industry, if you will, and a company from being primarily based on technology and sales to professionals and, you know, sales to the Walmart Optical Center into really thinking about the consumer's unmet needs and consumer equity and brand loyalty and, you know, things like consumer-centric innovation was really, really appealing. We're leading the way in the optical industry in that regard, and I thought that was a great challenge. And the last thing I would tell you is it's fast-moving, it's entrepreneurial, it's a great culture to be in where maybe it's not as hierarchical or process-driven as others, and that appealed to me as well.
So that's all. That's wonderful. That's great. But and I understand all of those positive sides. But at the same time, you're moving from this huge company that had vast resources available, people in every different department. You press a button and you get the answers to the questions that you need. That way of doing business and all of that. What do you see as the challenges that you'll be facing in moving from a large, let's call it a bureaucratic organization, but yet has very well-defined processes and procedures, to a much smaller, younger, high-growth organization?
That's also a good question. You have to kind of be careful what you wish for in this scenario. I think you get a lot of people, and I've heard it before, and I said it myself, that I think the difference may be that I actually meant it, and others maybe don't. A lot of people that say, I really want to be somewhere that's flatter and not as hierarchical and you know, not as matrixed and really faster. Well, you got to kind of be careful what you ask for, because the one of the first challenges is a lot of the dirty grunt work is done by you. There's no one to do it for you. You got to roll up your sleeves and get it done in your quest to help that company become sophisticated and truly world-class in terms of brand building and consumer marketing and professional marketing. So I'd say that's probably challenge number one. You really will work hard, and I'm already seeing that very early into my tenure with transitions. You're really building things from the ground up. I think the second thing is you really have to learn how things get done, quote-unquote. Because there's a lack of process, you know, there is ways that are intrinsic to the company's culture on how things get done, key stakeholders, key relationships, what's in your direct control versus not. More things happen via meetings and face-to-face and hallway conversations than in a much more process-driven, larger company where that's a little bit taken out and the process itself dictates the result. And you have to learn that. And you want to bring in a little bit of that process and more of that strategic planning, but do it in a way that you don't disrupt the culture, because then you really, you know, you won't be viewed positively and you're not affecting positive change. You're affecting negative change, and that can work against you.
So is that something that you have to be conscious of every day, or is it just something that comes naturally to you?
Both. I think personally I'm relatively skilled at developing relationships, but frankly, I have to work at it. I have to be conscious of the fact that we're not speaking a common language. When there's no process, you're not speaking a common language. So when you're talking to R&D, or you're talking to consumer insights, or you're talking to operations and supply chain, there is no central process to refer to, or there is no template or, you know, formal output that everyone knows and recognizes. And you have to be aware that things will get done by your influence and by how well you understand the other person's need and what really drives the business internally. So I think that it's a critical skill, and I'm not a master of it yet, frankly. I've been helped because some of my career choices at Procter & Gamble were more entrepreneurial and in smaller categories, and that's helped me. But certainly, you know, that's still a challenge. And I will tell you that, you know, another challenge is a much higher need for adaptability and versatility. I mean, you really...
Right.
My experience is we talk a lot about embracing change in big companies, but this is really where it happens in this kind of company. The last thing I'd tell you, Norm, is, and one that maybe people don't expect or don't think about, is in terms of your personnel needs and your hiring needs, both internal and external, you're going to have less classically trained people.
Right.
Internally, because they just don't have that depth. I mean, they haven't come up through a Procter & Gamble or a Colgate or Kraft where they were an ABM and then a brand manager and then a marketing associate director. And second, even externally, you know, your career development in transitions, mine right now, isn't that deep. So if I bring in a senior marketing director, you know, his options could be a little limited, or her options. And
right.
those are some of the things that you don't maybe consider up front that are more valid. When you're in this kind of company, the flip side is you're growing very fast and you're pretty much affecting change every day. And you don't have to see that in maybe in the CPG world as much.
That's fabulous. So one last question for you. I want to give you the opportunity or ask you a question which provides the opportunity to provide a little bit of insight to our readers and our listeners. What advice would you give to marketers who are in an organization where they've built some significant personal equity, they're well-regarded, they know the ropes, they're doing quite well, but they're contemplating leaving? What advice would you give to those people?
I certainly learned a lot during this process, so I'll have a bit to say. I'll try to keep it short and simple.
Okay.
but stop me, yank.
All right. Now we're interested in hearing.
But the first thing I would decide, and it's one of the key reasons also that I became a CMO, is decide on the type of work you want to do. I found that things like industry and even the company are secondary to the type of work. You know, we marketers are a pretty flexible bunch, so. Do you want to do P&L, line management, general management? Do you want more classic brand management and equity building? Do you want to focus on innovation and upstream product development, new products? Do you want to really zero in on just developing communications? There are plenty of companies that have communications group that just do that. Do you really want to go more to tactical marketing? Would you want to be global or regional? Decide what you want to do first, where you see yourself ending up in terms of your career choice in, you know, the next five to seven years to 10 years, and really try to get that, really try to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second thing I would do is decide the culture. What culture do you want to be in? And again, I'll say it again, be careful with leaner, meaner, faster, more entrepreneurial. You will get what you ask for, and you may not like it. So make sure that you really are comfortable in an organization that's fast-flowing, where there's not a lot of process and decisions get made by relationships, where you may agree something in a meeting and 5 minutes later the president is calling the people to already advise them and you haven't even been able to get out your own communications.
Mm.
And you know, you may need to bring in agencies and then kick them out again. Be sure that that's really what you want to do. It's not good or bad, it's simply different. If you want to be in more matrix, you like process, you like being able to anticipate, you know, bottlenecks and being able to anticipate outcomes and not have to think so much about the how, then you may want to stay kind of in a more matrixed organization. So that would be second. Culture first. Third, research. Do your homework on the opportunity you're evaluating. I would talk to current employees. I would talk to ex-employees. I would talk to current and former agency partners. I would talk to recruiters in the industry who don't have a stake in your decision. Research online, go to Dun & Bradstreet and understand the financials, get the annual reports. You know, get as much data as you can about the company, both the good and the bad. You know, you want to know as much of the – you want to see as many of the warts as you can before you make your decision. And I will tell you, if you have a lot of personal equity in a company, which I did and I still do, leverage that network and that current equity for you outside. You know, one of the things that I did that helped me immensely personally is – even before I was really actively looking or actively pursuing transitions or other opportunities, I was already talking to folks who I knew who had built up a lot of equity within P&G and seeing who was willing to go to bat for me with external opportunities, who would be willing to network for openings, who was in a position to see things that were coming externally, who would be a great reference or a recommendation. Eventually, those guys will even be the potential talent pool you may hire from. So leverage that network to really help you on the outside and then you know, help spur what you'll do once you leave the company. And the last thing I would do is the industry itself. It's great if you can pick something you have a passion for. You know, consumer electronics, is it software, is it auto, is it fragrances? But don't get hung up on that. I would focus on type of work and culture first. Because originally, I'll tell you, I thought transitions were cool, but nothing to write home about. And the optical industry, okay, it's an industry. And frankly, now 3, 4, 5 weeks in, I'm a raving fanatic about them. And I can't understand how people could be without them. So once you get to understand the product and what's behind it and the industry itself, you usually pick up a passion for it. So I would, if you can pick an industry that you love, great, but that at least from my personal perspective, shouldn't be your guiding decision, because ultimately you may be surprised. You know, I thought consumer electronics was extremely sexy, but I found out it's very product-driven and marketing is pretty much at the back end.
So
that's an example of some of the things where it might, you know, don't think about the culture and think about the type of work you want to do and what company affords you that, and the culture is probably a secondary thing to think about. I mean, the category or the industry.
Yeah, Alexis, that was very thoughtful, and I'm sure will be valuable input for our listeners and readers to think about going forward. We the Game Changers wish you nothing but success in your future at Transitions, and we do wish you well, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to continuing to be a great Game Changers member. So I've really enjoyed
great.
The resource and enjoyed my partnership with you guys. So thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Take care now.
All righty. Take care.